The next trend that we will talk about is the empowered edge. Now, the edge refers to an endpoint devices that are used by people or embedded in the real world around us. So, edge computing describes a computing topology in which information processing and content collection delivery are placed closer to the endpoints. Now, what does this really mean? So, in case of the IoT, so what happens is there are a lot of sensors that are deployed everywhere, but then the computing happens at the central location. Now, using empowered edge, you would then do the computing closer to the user. So, edge will be driven by IoT, and the need keeping the processing close to the end or close to the user rather than at a centralized cloud server. So, however, rather than creating a new architecture, cloud computing and edge computing will evolve and they'll be complementary to each other. So, don't just think that, you know, cloud is acting as a competition to edge computing. No. So, what will really happen is both will work together to each other. And even in case of the distributed systems, so where the power of computing is closer to the user, this will have a lot of power and it will save a lot of time when relaying that information to the central location as compared to something that is closer to the user. Now, what we see is because IoT works a lot on the mobility network. So, say for example, if cars that are enabled on IoT, they'll relay information over a SIM card, correct? Now, the SIM card gets connected over a 3G or a 4G thing right now. So, as 5G as a technology matures, the expanding edge computing will have more robust communication to the centralized services. Now, 5G as a service will provide lower latency, higher bandwidth, and very importantly, a dramatic increase in the number of nodes per square kilometer rather than restricting only to a number of use cases. So, what really happens is edge computing is basically computing closer to the user so that the performance really increases. The next we talk about is immersive experience. So, immersive experience is just changing the way we interact with each other. So, earlier platforms, we used to do it over a video conference, a chat, or a phone call, or instant messaging. But now, with virtual reality, augmented reality, and mixed reality coming into picture, it will just change the way people look at the digital world now. This combined shift in perception and interaction model will lead to an immersive user experience. So, over time, we will shift from a fragmented user experience to a multi-channel and a multi-modal experience. Now, the multi-modal experience will connect people with the digital and using it could be through a whole host of different equipment. So, it could be through, say, computing device, it could be through wearables, it could be automotives, it could be environmental sensors, consumer applications and whatnot. Right. So, the point that Gartner is trying to drive through immersive experience is that no longer you'll be limited only to the physical world. But then get this, that there'll be a lot of virtual reality in place, a lot of augmented reality in place. So, just imagine a situation, a doctor is performing a surgery in say India and he needs some remote assistance real time. So, he would then contact his counterpart probably in US, but then that experience is so immersive that it's as if the person from US is actually performing that surgery. So, it's taking video conferencing to another level. It will have all clear controls, it will have all superb resolutions. So, you will no longer feel that, you know, a person is away, but then it's a completely immersive user experience so as to provide a better experience to the end user. Next, we will talk about blockchain. So, blockchain is a type of distributed ledger. Now, what earlier used to happen is that suppose if I had to transfer money from say India to USA, there were a lot of signatories involved. So, there are a lot of banks involved. There are a lot of other bodies involved. So there are a lot of different ledgers maintained. A ledger is something that keeps a note of the entries. So blockchain is a type of distributed ledger, and it will basically provide a universal truth. So what happens is, currently trust is placed in the banks, the clearing houses, the governments, and any other institutions. But then every institute has its own ledger. Now with blockchain coming in, what will happen is there will be a unified ledger which will be common all across. So that's called as the single version of truth, and it will be maintained securely in the database. Now the thing about blockchain, two things to remember is, one, it is immutable, so you cannot destroy a record, unlike a traditional way in which you can delete a record. And second is, it reduces the time it takes for the transaction to happen. So because what used to happen is, earlier the transaction used to get recorded in a ledger. These ledgers were then the ledger of a bank is then sent to the clearing house. The clearing house then sends it to the regulatory body, and so on. That is why the time it took to actually, you know, get the clearance between the different ledgers, it took time. But then now, if there is a centralized mechanism which is a single version of truth, if it is immutable, then it will actually speed up the way transactions are done. Also, the cost and the commission that you pay to these clearing bodies, to these agencies, this will reduce. So that is the value of blockchain. So blockchain provides an alternative trust mode, and it will eliminate the need for the different authorities to authorize a transaction. So many blockchain initiatives today do not implement all these attributes of a blockchain. So for example, everyone uses a highly distributed database as compared to a centralized database. So the blockchain inspired solutions are positioned to achieve the operational efficiency by highly automating the business process through digital records. Next, we will talk about smart spaces. Now, smart spaces is very abused term, right? So everyone talks about smart spaces as in things getting digitized in the workspace. So it's true to an extent, but then the smart spaces trend has been there in the market since quite some time. So we see smart cities now. So there are a few cities in India which are smart now, but then the degree to which they've been digitized is less, right? So you could just see a smart Wi-Fi getting deployed, but then there are so many things in a smart city that could be done. So say something like a smart parking, to something like smart lighting. So just take an example, right? So suppose in a city, the city has to be lit during the night time, right? Because there is absolutely no light. But just imagine a situation, if there are no people around, no cars around in that particular street, then why do you want to keep those street lights on? A valid point, correct? So using those smart sensors, smart lighting, those lightings could be switched off when there are no movements seen in that particular area. And as in when you see a movement, those lights could be switched on. So that's just a use case of smart lighting that I mentioned. And the use cases could be anything, right? It could be from a smart waste collection system to knowing that, you know, say if there is garbage in a garbage collection bin, and if the bin is full, then probably this particular signal has to be sent to the garbage collection agencies. So they don't need to visit every day or say after every few hours. As in when the garbage can become full, it will send the automatic alarm to the agency, and the car can come and, you know, pick up the trash. So that's the use case of a smart waste management system. It could be a smart parking. So nowadays getting a parking slot is really difficult. So what if there is an app, you understand and you see where are the parking spaces available. So it could actually save a lot of fuel for your car when you go to search for a parking space, right? So the use cases for smart spaces is absolutely limitless. And there are multiple things involved. So it could include people, it could include processes, it could include services, things. So everything coming together, working with each other, and getting a real smart industry scenario in place. So as I said, the market entering now is a very robust, smart place with a completely integrated approach. So say things like weather sensing machines, to something like air pollution control. So just believe me, the use cases, I'm just repeating myself, but the use cases for this are just limitless. Let us discuss the ninth trend, which talks about digital ethics and privacy. Now, as I said, there's lot of data, right? And this data, all the agencies are collecting. But then what are they doing with that data? Is that data really secure? Is someone else able to get those data? So what really happened is, I'll take you through this case. So a smart fitness application, it basically tracks your movements, correct? So if you have your GPS on, it'll track from where and what are your movements, what are the steps, and so on. But then this data of say, and this is a real case, so the soldiers were using those smart wearables, and this particular smart wearables was delivering this information to their central system, and believe me, there were some hackers who actually hacked those central systems, and they were able to, you know, pinpoint where the soldiers were. So just scary, right? So data privacy and data ethics, I think the need to have a honest data storage system in place, the need for that will be a lot more in the coming years. People need to be more wary of the fact that their data can be misused. But then the data privacy and the data ethics are something that the large companies will have to drive themselves and ensure that there is no exploitation of data as such. The last trend that I'll speak about is quantum computing. Now, quantum computing is a type of non-classical computing that operates on a quantum state of subatomic particles. So, say something like electrons and ions, and represents the information as elements denoted by quantum bits. The parallel execution and exponential scalability of quantum computers means that they excel the problems too for a complex situation. Now, what happens is, industries such as automotive, finance, insurance, pharma, military, research, they will be the ones that will gain the maximum from quantum computing. So consider the case of a pharma company, right, which is doing a lot of research. Now, quantum computing can be used to model the actual molecular interaction at a atomic level, right? So say a pharma company is actually making a drug, right? But so for that, what is more important is how the elements interact with each other at a atomic level. So this is something that quantum computing will be able to drive. Till now, we've just been dependent on the traditional methods of work. But then quantum computing can lead to newer pharmaceutical technologies. So these are some of the innovative trends that Gartner sees going forward. So if you ask me personally, so artificial intelligence and machine learning are two things that we will see getting rapidly used. But things like virtual reality, augmented reality, these are things that are really seen in the workplace. Things like immersive experience, getting things closer to the end user, that is the empowered edge that I'm talking about, the AI driven development that we spoke about. So these are some of the things that we can really relate to. And on top of that, the augmented analytics is something which will really change the way a business should be done. So I hope I've been able to, you know, just touch upon some of the few trends that are there in the IT industry. Hope you've just understood a bit about each of these 10 different things. I would highly encourage you to you know, use the web to Google each and every technology that we spoke about. It will help you develop some deep, meaningful insights. And probably if you are wanting to develop your career into one of these, then, you know, probably you should then plan your strategy accordingly. So I hope this has been informative to you, and I'd like to thank you for viewing.